Proverbs, the 4th chapter, verse 20. My son, attend to my words, incline thine ear unto my sayings. Let them not depart from thine eyes, keep them in the midst of thine heart. For they are life unto those that find them, and health to all their flesh. Now, we don't have time to go back over the whole thing, but we'll just make these comments and review. When he says to attend to my words, I mean, we've got to put the word of God first place. Blessed be the name of the Lord. And then when we're inclining our ear unto his sayings, I believe that it's not only our physical ear, but it's our spiritual ear. Glory to God. And when what the Word says to do, we got to do it. And what the Spirit says to do on the inside of us, we got to do it. But notice what it says, attend and incline. In verse 21, let them want them words and them sayings, let them not depart from thine eyes. Did you hear that? Keep them words, them sayings, not very good English, but you get the message. Keep those words in the midst of thine heart, for they, the words, are life unto those that find them, which means you're going to have to dig to get them, glory be unto God. Hallelujah. For they are life unto those that find them, and health, and many marginal renderings say, and medicine to all their flesh. What is the word of the living God? In fact, when Jesus goes through and you find out where Jesus is healing, that it always prefaces it by, and Jesus taught and preached the word and healed the sick. Glory to God. There has to be a marriage between the preaching of the word and the healing of the sick. Now look at verse 23, chapter 4 of Acts. And being let go, they went to their own company and reported all that the chief priest and elders had said unto them. And when they heard that, they lifted up their voice to God with one accord and said, Lord, thou art God, which has made heaven and earth and the sea and all that in them is. Glory to God. They didn't take the problem of the threatenings to the Lord. They worshipped Him. Verse 29, and now, Lord, behold their threatenings, and grant unto thy servants that with all boldness they may speak thy word. Now, it doesn't end there. There's a comma. Notice, and grant unto thy servants that with all boldness they may speak thy word by stretching forth thine hand to heal, and that signs and wonders may be done by the name of thy holy child Jesus. I mean, the preaching of the word is not just standing and ministering the word of God. The preaching of the word, they said, let us speak the word boldly by stretching forth thine hand to heal. Now, I had three other illustrations where the word of God says the exact same thing. I'm not going to get into it. But let me tell you, there's got to be a marriage of the move of God with the preaching of the word. It's just like in a marriage when a man and a woman come together, and when that man and woman come together, they cease being two individuals. They become one, and if they don't, you got a flaky marriage. If one's out doing what one wants to do and the other's out doing what it wants to do. Well, for some reason in the body of Christ, we've got those that are out doing the teaching thing, thinking it's totally separated from the move of the Holy Ghost. And you got those out doing the power thing. They're thinking it's, that if you start teaching the Word of God, somehow you're going to lose it. Jesus and the early church looked at them as one in the same. They're married, glory be unto God. Amen. Hallelujah. But we've been seeing it around here. God started doing a work with my thinking. And when we found out that Jesus said that not only did He teach, says more about His teaching ministry than any other aspect of His ministry, but it also said He preached. You got to have both. Thank God that I'm a teacher. But yesterday morning, I preached. Hallelujah. Glory to God. The Lord's good and His mercy endureth forever. Amen. Well, I'm not going to go on any further than that because I just want to mess with your minds a little bit tonight. Matthew 15. Hallelujah. Now, We started out looking at the sayings of Jesus, inclining our ears to the sayings of Jesus. Remember, John 14:10 said in the Greek text, "The words that I speak not of myself, but the Father that dwelleth in me speaketh them. And the works that I do not of myself, but the Father that dwelleth in me." So whatever we find Jesus saying, glory be unto God, that's what the Father God's saying. Whatever we find Jesus doing, that's exactly what God would do if He was walking here on the face of the earth. God wanted to give a word in flesh to put on this earth so that there would be no mistake on how He thinks about things. And all we have to do is watch Jesus. Amen. It's just like the woman the other day calling me from an employee of another church here in town and was asking me questions, drilling me about the church. And I said, you know, none of those things even matter. I said, all that matters, I said, is God meeting the needs of the people in the church. I said, that's all that matters. I said, for instance, are you having healing lines in your church? Well, we don't do that in our church. Well, I said, you need to be doing it. I said, what are you doing with all those sick folk? Well, we don't do that. Well, they need to be. They're casting out any devils? They need to be. And then over there in Hebrews, the first chapter, verse 2, God hath in these last days spoken unto us by His Son, whom He hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also He made the worlds. God in the last days is speaking, spoke when Jesus was there, but still speaking, glory be unto God, through His Son Jesus. So whatever I find Jesus saying and doing, glory be unto God, that's God doing it. Jesus had the audacity to stand and say, under the anointing of God, the works that I do, greater works will you do. I tell you, God's been teaching me, and He held me back because He wants to teach me some more on miracles and healings, on gifts of healings and miracles. Saturday night, when that little girl came up here, the word of knowledge went into operation. God healed her instantly right in front of our eyes, and the Spirit of the Lord said, now, son, that was the gifts of healings. I mean, I just stretched forth my hand and barely touched her. And when I did, her body and her hips and her leg whamp. And God just healed her by the gifts of healings being in manifestation. It just wasn't faith, faith. You have to have faith for the gifts to be in manifestation, but it was the gifts of healings. Glory be unto God. I tell you what, woo! You should have seen some of your faces after. I mean, it happened so fast, people's eyes were about this big up here. Glory to God. So we've been starting in the book of Matthew, and I thought we'd be there a couple of times, Sunday night, the first Sunday night, the first Monday night. But no, the Lord wanted me to stay in the book of Matthew, so we're going through the healings to the book of Matthew and looking at the sayings of Jesus concerning those healings. We talked about demons yesterday evening. But then we got to, glory to God, to one instance, and we've already touched on it last Monday night. So we're going to go past it. We might go back to it some other time. Since we touched it, we're going to go past it to the next one. And so turn with me, if you would please, to Matthew 15:29. Now, you know that we're studying the book of Matthew, and you can go and try to see what we're going to be preaching on, but I'll guarantee you didn't come up with tonight. Hallelujah. It was the grace of God I did. Glory to Jesus. Matthew 15:29. It's not exactly where we're going to end up, but it's where we're starting. And Jesus departed from thence and came nigh unto the Sea of Galilee and went up into a mountain and sat down there. And great multitudes came unto Him, having with them those that were lame, blind, dumb, maimed, and many others, and cast them down at Jesus' feet, and He healed them. Good God Almighty. Insomuch that the multitude wondered when they saw the dumb speak, and the maimed be whole, and the lame to walk, and the blind to see. And they glorified the God of Israel. Verse 32. Then Jesus called His disciples unto Him and said, I want you to notice, here's the sayings of Jesus. We're to incline our ears to these sayings. Here it is. Then Jesus called his disciples unto him and said, I have compassion on the multitude, because they continue with me now 3 days and have nothing to eat. So for 3 days they didn't have food. Now I went up here in verse 29 and just look, and this happens throughout the Gospels. Jesus departed from thence, came nigh into the Sea of Galilee, went up into a mountain, sat down. Great multitudes came to him. There wasn't no called meeting here, my brothers and sisters. They just came. And you'll find it, oh, wherever the man went, they came. So then these people just came. There wasn't a poster out that said, meeting, side of the sea, on the beach, June 12th, 13th, and 14th, the man showed up, they had a meeting, and they started bringing people in and dumping them. They didn't come with the sack lunch. They heard he was there, they went. So, there they are for 3 days. Jesus said, they have nothing to eat. Now notice these next words, and the Spirit of the Lord spoke to me out of these words. I will not send them away fasting, lest they faint in the way. The NIV says, I do not want to send them away hungry, or they may collapse on the way. Now I want you to get the picture of this. The healing power of God is being poured out. I mean the maimed. This is people with missing limbs and twisted, crippled limbs. And they're coming out and they're being healed. And they're being straightened out. And God's power is pouring out to these people. Yet Jesus said, if these people don't eat, they're going to collapse. You know what he's saying? Food does something my power can't do. And the Spirit of the Lord began to deal with me on that. I said, Lord, that's your saying. He's saying to them, he's saying to his disciples, you get these folks something to eat because they're going to collapse. And this power and the word they've been in is not going to keep them from passing out. Now, I don't know how many of you have gone 3 days without eating. I have. I've fasted for 3 days many times. And at the end of three days is a really bad time to length of time to fast. I'll tell you why. It's better to fast 7 days than 3 days. Because at 3 days, you are still hungry. At seven, you don't care if you have food for the next 3 weeks. I don't know what happens chemically to your body, but at 7 days, or right after 3 days, your body says, okay, this is the way it is. But 3 days, you're hungry. And 3 days, you're starting to get weak. Because I preached through these fasts, which is not the smartest thing to do, and that's why I sit down. Sometimes you see me sitting down, I've been fast. You'll get up here and your old legs will be, and I'm not walking through the desert. Glory to God. And he says, they're going to collapse in the way. There's something food can do that my power can't do. There are places food will take you that God's power cannot reach. Did you just get what I said? There are places food will take you that God's power will not reach. And we're going to look at some of these things tonight because the Lord dealt with me about teaching on food and how food, either the lack of or too much of, are places that His power can't reach. Now, we want His power to reach us, don't we? Amen. Hallelujah. The people's diet could do something that the power couldn't deal with. Genesis, the second chapter. I want you to get this. We're going to start back at the beginning. You're going to have to come to some understanding about food. We're going to start with, you got to eat food, and then we're going to go to, you can't eat too much food. Okay? You got to eat enough, but you can't eat too much. Now look here with me in verse 7, chapter 2. And the Lord, I didn't lose some of you right then, did I? And the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground. Everybody say, formed man of the dust of the ground.
Formed man of the dust of the ground.
Verse 16. And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat. Let me read it again. And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat. We know what happens in verse 17. We're going to go with verse 16. I want you to get this, my brothers and sisters. The Lord commanded him, saying, you may freely eat. In Hebrew, it is no cost is involved. That's what the word means. And the Spirit of the Lord began to deal with me. Before the fall of man, he could eat anything he wanted and never pay a price physically, never pay a price mentally. There was no cost involved. He didn't have to pay for it with labor, but afterwards, he didn't have to, it didn't affect his body. If he wanted to eat 52 bushels of apples, he could do it, and there was nothing going to happen to his body. If he wanted to go out there and eat bananas off of every tree, he could just eat and eat and eat and eat and eat, and it wouldn't affect his body. Now, something happens. The fall of man. Go to Genesis, the 3rd chapter, verse 17. And unto Adam he said, because thou hast hearkened unto the voice of thy wife, and hast eaten of the tree of which I commanded thee, saying, thou shalt not eat of it, cursed is the ground for thy sake. In sorrow shalt thou eat of it all the days of thy life. Thorns also and thistles shall it bring forth to thee, and thou shalt eat the herb of the field. In the sweat of thy face shalt thou eat bread, till thou return unto the ground. For out of it was thou taken, for dust thou art, and unto dust thou shalt return. So the fall of man happened, the curse came in, now it's not free any longer. He's going to have to start paying for it with the sweat of his brow, but also he just is not free to do anything with it as far as his mouth is concerned, and the Bible begins to tell us that because there's still a price to be paid. The price is your body is different now. But not only that, and you need to know this, that the ground was cursed. It says a curse came on the ground. Not only was the ground cursed, but that which comes forth from the ground had the curse on it. And that's how man, who came from the dust, partakes of food. It has its origin somewhere in the ground. You can eat meat, but that meat was fed off of something that came from the ground. The whole scenario now has changed when it comes to food. It's not the same any longer. We can't just eat everything we want. There's a price to pay if we do. Glory to God. You're still with me. Matthew 15:32 tells us in an overview again, food is important. We can say this, not enough, problems are going to occur. Too much, problems are going to occur. We can pray until we're green in the face, but it's not going to do any good in most cases. I know with myself, and I probably should wait to get to this aspect, I know with myself, if I incorporate certain foods, or I can have some, but if I incorporate an abundance of certain kinds of foods in my diet, I'm going to gain weight, and I'm going to have my blood pressure go up. If I discontinue the amount of those very same foods within 3 weeks, I don't care how high my blood pressure has gotten, my blood pressure will go down. I can stand there and confess the Word of God morning, noon, night, stay up all night. I've done it because of what it does to my body. And it will stay the same, and all I have to do is change my diet a little bit, and I get what I've been confessing, and it just came because food is that important. Food will take you to places His power can't get to, because God has set certain rules in order in this life. Amen. And we must abide by those rules, because the law of faith is a law, but the laws of nature that God, it's a law also. Glory be unto God. I'm not getting too many amens, but anyway, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Woo, glory. Well, we can go, let's go on back to Matthew 15. We need to, some of you already went there, but I'll go back there. We know that there was the miracle of the multiplication of the bread and the fishes. Verse 37, and they did all eat and were filled, and they took up of the broken meat that was left 7 baskets full. So they ate and they got full. Let me tell you what, it doesn't take long to get full after a 3-day fast, and if you eat too much, you will be sick. I have been there, I have done that. Glory to God. All you need to go there is about one time, and you don't want to go there again. Start out a little to break the fast. Don't think that you got to catch up all in that one day. Glory be unto God. 1 Timothy, the 4th chapter, if you would, please. Some of these scriptures you know, but you need to have them brought to light again. I wish I had a room full of teenage girls right now. You got to eat. 1 Timothy, the 4th chapter. You got it? Verse 1, now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. Everybody say faith.
Faith.
Everything has to be done in faith, in the Word of God. And if you don't do it in faith, then you're departing. Look what it says. It's doctrines of devils, speaking lies and hypocrisy, having their conscience seared with a hot iron, forbidding to marry, and commanding to abstain from meats created, which God hath created, to be received with them with thanksgiving of them which believe and know the truth. So what happens when people start saying you can't eat meat, my brothers and sisters, even people in the church saying you can't eat meat, that means their faith is allowing them to depart. Glory to God. Because this thing says that you can do it if you believe and know the truth. Glory to God. Hallelujah. And the devil, you just look at our day and time. You listen to the TV for about 2 minutes and get on some kind of show, and they're telling you that you can't eat meats. The Spirit of the Lord said, notice that they don't have anything against you eating fruits and grains. It brought up meats for some reason. Well, because you get good things out of meat. Glory to God. But notice this, again, that the doctrine of the devil is that you abstain from meats which God hath created to be received with thanksgiving of them which believe and know the truth. Food must be partaken of with a foundation and a surrounding of faith. Glory to God. We're not a bunch of pigs. We just don't go to the trough and start slopping. Remember who you are. You're the just shall live by faith. Glory to God. Everything we partake of in faith. Everybody say food is good.
Food is good.
Amen. Acts 9. We're talking about healing. I mean, we talked about the faith. We talked about special anointings. We talked about, you know, glory to God, miracles of healing, which is the gift of healing. We've talked about all kinds of things. We'll probably talk about love and how it is involved in the healing, getting healed. And now we're talking about food. Acts 19, verse 17. Acts 9, 17. And Ananias went his way and entered into the house, and putting his hands on him, said, Brother Saul, the Lord even Jesus that appeared unto thee in the way as thou camest hath sent me, that thou mightest receive thy sight and be filled with the Holy Ghost. And immediately there fell from his eyes as it had been scales, and he received sight forthwith and arose and was baptized. And when he had received meat, he was strengthened. That's, he received food. They use meat most of the time in the King James when they're talking about food. And received food, and he was strengthened. It wasn't the anointing that strengthened him. It was food that strengthened him. I mean, you bring a little a girl that's anorexic, the devil's gotten a hold of, and a demon spirit's keeping her from eating. She eats a little bit and she pukes. I tell you, this is not right, my brothers and sisters. It's not God's plan. Glory to God. And needs to have the devil cast out of them, and they need to eat. Glory to God. Hallelujah. That almost sounds like Lester. I don't know. No, the move of God wasn't needed here. He needed to eat. Acts 27. Why does the Bible put these things in here? So people are eat. Acts 27. Verse 33. And while the day was coming on, Paul besought them all to take food, saying, "This day is the 14th day that you have tarried and continued fasting, having taken nothing. Wherefore I pray you to take some food, for this is for your health." We're not having a healing meeting here. He just said, eat, and it's for your health. It's going to make you walk in healing if you just eat. Jesus said, man, I'm not going to send them away fasting because they'll be collapsing in the way after he had that mighty move of the Spirit. Wherefore, I pray you to take some food, for this is for your health, for there shall not an hair fall from the head of any of you. I mean, they're in the midst of this terrible storm and the gifts of the Holy Ghost are operating, glory to God. And Paul's, the gift of faith goes into operation in him, special faith, and protects him from the shipwreck. Glory be unto God and all those around him. Hallelujah. Let's go on. Everybody say, food is good.
Food is good.
Hallelujah. Mark 5. Now what was that food for? For their health. What you eat is important. Mark 5:35. It's just letting me know if the Lord ministered to this in my heart, which I just find it really a strange sermon. I think it's a strange sermon. But I know that it's what the Lord wanted me to preach. It just lets me know something, glory to God, that a lot of people, many of their physical problems, are just they're eating the wrong things. Or not eating enough, or not eating, or eating too much, or just eating ugly things that they need to scale back on a little bit. And we're going to get into that in just a moment. Because the Bible has much to say about what we put in our face. Mark 5. Glory to God. It's something that we really don't want to hear. But it's in there and I need it. No prayer or healing line. These people just ate. Okay, Mark 5:35. While he yet spake, there came from the ruler of the synagogue's house certain which said, "Thy daughter is dead. Why troublest thou the master any further?" As soon as Jesus heard the word that was spoken, he saith unto the ruler of the synagogue, "Be not afraid, only believe." We know what happens. We've studied it. Everybody in here studied it. I mean, Talitha Kumi and the little girl raised up that was 12 years old. Verse 43. And he charged them straightly that no man should know it, and commanded that something should be given her to eat. My Lord, just think about it. The three gifts of power have just gone into operation. The gift of faith, so that Jesus would have the faith to raise the dead. The working of miracles to raise the little girl up from the dead. And the gifts of healings to heal her of what killed her. And the first thing Jesus said is, feed her. I mean, with that kind of power, it seems like she could have run around the block 52 times. And Jesus said, feed her. Some people said, hey, man, ooh, yeah, let's eat. Glory to God. But that's not what we're talking about. Food's important. Food can do things that the power of God cannot do. But doesn't it seem like the three power gifts, three of the nine manifestations of the Holy Ghost just went into operation? That girl's up, awake, everybody's... And the first thing he does, feed her. Hallelujah. She'd been sick. She was weak. She rose up the same weakened state. Feed her, give her strength back so she'll have something to fight this attack with next time it comes around. I find that interesting. Amen. Well, I wish some young girls were here. Proverbs 24. Oh, baby. Proverbs 24. You're going to love this scripture. Oh, yes, Lord. This is for me. Verse 13. Proverbs chapter 24, verse 13. My son, eat thou honey, because it is good. And the honeycomb, which is sweet to thy taste. Now, yes, he's using this as a picture of what's coming up. So shall thy knowledge of wisdom be unto thy soul. The knowledge and wisdom of God's like honey to us. It's sweet if you go out and get it. But he still says this, my son, eat thou honey, because it is good, and the honeycomb, which is sweet to thy taste. Now, we're going to be visiting that scripture a little bit later, glory to God, also. So, eat honey because it's good. God wants us to partake of some things just because they're good. Amen. God wants us to eat, so we must eat. Anything that tells people not to eat or to eat and vomit it up, that's a devil. Just so you know that. But we've been going through all those scriptures about eating, but it's still after the curse. You need to eat, but let's find out how much. Proverbs 24, 13 we read, eat thou honey because it is good. Now look at Proverbs 25, 16. Hast thou found honey? Verse 16, eat so much as is sufficient for thee. Sufficient means able to satisfy. So you're just supposed to eat enough honey to be satisfied. Because the rest of the verse is, as most of you have already read it, hast thou found honey? Eat so much as is sufficient for thee, lest thou be filled therewith and vomit it. I mean, you can eat it to the point where you're just satisfied, but then if you eat too much, it's going to make you sick. Now that is a biblical principle. You eat too much and it's going to make you sick. And I believe it has more than one meaning. If you overeat past the point of just being satisfied, it can bring sickness to our bodies. It's quiet. Proverbs 25, verse 27. It is not good to eat much honey. Now, if I put Proverbs 24:13 next to Proverbs 25:27, I have Proverbs 24:13. You can just listen. Eat thou honey because it is good. It is not good to eat too much honey. Those are the two scriptures side by side. He's saying, yeah, you can eat it. It's good. But it's not good to eat too much. Now, that's in there for a reason. Well, that's honey, you say. Well, we'll find out in just a minute. It is good to eat. It is not good to eat too much. The Lord wants us healed. If our insulin levels can be regulated by what we eat, it's better to regulate them with what we eat than to slip over and be a diabetic and have to stand for your cotton picking healing, when just a change of diet will do it. If our blood pressure is too high because of what we put in our body, instead of going on all kinds of medications and everything and risk death, it's better just to go ahead and change our diet instead of standing every day for a cotton-picking headache that feels like your head's going to blow off. Anybody been there? Amen. Hallelujah. Can I tell that story? I went into his office to visit him one day, and I can't remember how we really got to it, but he wasn't feeling well. And I put my hands on him, and man, the whole word of knowledge went into operation, and I said, you get your blood pressure checked, and you get it checked right now. And what did they tell you when you got there? Man. And I said, and I told him two things. I said, if you've got the faith to believe God, I said, believe him. But I said, if you think your faith's a little not to that level, I said, you get on medication and you get on it now. I think, thank God for the word of knowledge. Amen. In a garage. God doesn't care. I mean, I touch. Whoa, my God. Amen. Praise be unto the Lord. Hallelujah. Galatians 5. Everybody say, Pastor, we love you. Amen. Glory be unto God. Oh, brother. Galatians 5. I thought we were going to have one of those, loud things again, Body straightening up, legs shooting out. And we're talking about food. Galatians 5, verse 22. But the fruit of the Spirit, everybody say fruit. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Everybody say temperance.
Temperance.
The last one that's listed. The word temperance, we don't use it much anymore. It's self-control. That's what the word means. It means one of the fruits of the Spirit is this supernatural grace that comes into the believer, this anointing that comes from within. You know, all of us have the indwelling Spirit. There are some for special duties and tasks that have the Spirit come upon. But we've all got the Spirit within, glory to God. And part of that Holy Ghost, when He comes in and renews us and makes us brand new at the new birth, part of what comes into us is this equipment of fruit faith, glory to God, that gives us self-control, that allows us to control ourselves. In other words, when that fork, not the only place, but this one particular place, when that fork is in our hand, it does not have control over us. We have control over it. Glory be unto God. When we're going down the buffet line, self-control has to go into operation, or use self-control to keep you away from the buffet. Amen. Let me tell you what, I have difficulty going into Mexican restaurants. Just keep those cotton picking chips away from me. Because I have a hard time with self-control over those little chips. And I got a couple of places that make me special salsa when I come in. It makes others bow down and beg for mercy. It's energy for me. Glory be unto God. Hallelujah. They see me coming and they make it. But I get carried away with those chips and that stuff. You have to exhibit some self-control. Each one of the little ones is 10 calories. You get to these places that serve you a quarter of a tortilla, And so you do about two or three of those baskets, and you've eaten like 6 days' worth of calories. Oh, brother. Hallelujah. So everybody say temperance, self-control. I tell you, food will take us to places the power of God cannot reach unless God just really feel sorry for you that day. Glory to God. Second Peter, we can't count on those gifts going into operation. That's as the Spirit will. Second Peter 1. Hallelujah. Second Peter 1. Verse 3. We're laughing, but it's kind of... Oh, brother, this is serious stuff. We don't want people's left arm going numb, Oh, 2 Peter 1, verse 3. According as His divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness, through the knowledge of Him that hath called us to glory and virtue, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises. Notice verse 3 again. through the knowledge. Now drop down to verse 6. We're to be adding some stuff. And to knowledge, that knowledge of Him that's called us to glory and virtue, and to knowledge, self-control, and to self-control, patience. We're to be adding self-control. Now, you go on down through here, go down to verse 8. For if these things be in you and abound, they make you that you shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, we know that self-control is not only dealing with our ability to stop ourselves from eating too much. I mean, it goes into many things, but it is dealing with that aspect. And if we don't get a hold of this aspect of the fruit of the Spirit, it's going to affect our ability to receive knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. Huh? Neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ, but he that lacketh these things is blind and cannot see afar off, and hath forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. Are you listening now? I mean, it's important stuff. That's one thing the Spirit of the Lord climbed on me about 4 years ago and said, get it off. Get the weight off. Hallelujah. He told me it would hurt my testimony. It's difficult to stand and preach on self-control and that I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me. I can do all things, and yet I can't stop myself from eating four people's plates because I was a big, big guy. You know, I've been there. Hallelujah. We're not preaching condemnation. We're preaching victory in Jesus. Glory to God. We can do it. I saw a little of the weight start creeping back on and saw a little far from where I used to be. Oh, thanks be unto God. How many of you know it's easier to lose 5 or 10 pounds than it is to lose 50 or 70? I've done that. The upper end. But, you know, and I noticed the little changes in my body. And I sat down with my wife and I said, honey, that we're going to have to make some changes here. You know, and we talk about these things, you know, because it's easier to do it together. You know, she knows that there's some kind of foods that I have difficulty saying no to. And so we try to stay clear of those places as much as we possibly can. If we go out to eat or something. Amen. We work together. Working out my salvation. Glory to God. Hallelujah. So we're to add to our knowledge self-control. Because lack of self-control hurts our spiritual walk. Hallelujah. 1 Corinthians 9. Are you ever going to be quiet? Not till I finish. 1 Corinthians 9 chapter. An old saying, you know, you're doing okay until you talk about people's kids. You talk about their weight or the money. And yeah, chapter 9, but you all just love the word so much and you care about yourselves. And this is the big thing about it. You have to look at yourself one day and say, I really love you, David Oaks. And I don't want you to die an early death. When I stood and looked at myself in the mirror, just like I did the day I stopped doing drugs, I looked in the mirror and said, you're killing yourself. Stop. I had to stand and look at the mirror and say, you're killing yourself. You're going to die an early death if you don't get a hold of your eating. Hallelujah. 1 Corinthians, the 9th chapter. And then keep a hold of it. Paul said, I keep under my body and bring it into subjection. Well, chapter 9, let's go up a little ways. 24. Chapter 9, 1 Corinthians, verse 24. Know ye not that I've got so many markings in my Bible, half the time I can't even tell the words. Know ye not that they which run in a race run all, but one receiveth the prize? So run that you may obtain. And every man that striveth for the mastery is temperate in all things. If we're striving for the mastery, we're going to have self-control in all things. If we're going to master every situation in life, we have to have self-control in every area. Hallelujah. Now, they do it to obtain a corruptible crown, but we an incorruptible. I therefore so run, not as uncertainly, so fight I not as one that beateth the air, but I keep under my body and bring it into subjection, lest that by any means, when I have preached to others, I myself should be a castaway. 1 Timothy 4, verse 8, for bodily exercise profiteth little. The Amplified says, for physical training is of some value, useful for a little. The marginal rendering says, for a little while. Now notice what it says going on down. But godliness is profitable unto all things, having promise of the life that now is and of that which is to come. So it separates that there are two areas where godliness, here on earth and there. So I wonder if the bodily exercise, its little while, is down here on the earth. Bodily exercise profiteth for a little while down here. Godliness, both places. I mean, there's got to be some kind of activity with our body. We just can't be stale all the time. It, to show you the meaning of this word, it's really wild. The word exercise is the word gymnasia. And it's where we get the English word gymnastics. So it's not, when it's talking about bodily exercise, it's not talking about. I mean, it's talking some exercise, getting out there and walking, glory to God, getting out there doing something. We don't have to be marathoners, but we need to be doing something according to the prophet for a little while. There's some profit in it. Glory to God. Our society used to be different. Everybody worked on a farm. We don't anymore. We sat behind a desk all day. That's about it. Hello? Oh, it's quiet. Much quieter than your few of number. We are looking at the sayings of Jesus. We've got to eat, but we can't eat too much beyond the point of being satisfied. Hallelujah. We have to do a little exercise. Need to loosen my tie for the next section. I was in my desk. It was 5:30. And up in my spirit came, look into honey. Okay, so I'm going to do some study on honey now at 5:30. Well, the computer was on, so I just went in, typed in compounds in honey. And I got into this website for college, chemistry department, that has broken down all the substances in all the foods. Listen, honey, a simple carbohydrate, 82.9% carbohydrate, 17.1% water. The carbohydrates made up of fructose, 38.5%. What's fructose? Glucose, 31%. What's glucose? Maltose, sucrose, glucose, and other sugars make up the remaining 12.9%. In other words, the thing is sugar. So the Lord is saying, a little sugar, okay, but just to the point of satisfied. So I said, well, I'm going to look into carbohydrate since it is 82.9% carbohydrate. The Lord just told me to, so I thought I was finished with my sermon, but no. I guess I wasn't. So I just, you know, I'm not preaching a chemistry course here, and I'm just reading what I read. Carbohydrate, any of a group of chemical compounds, including sugars, starches, and cellulose. Cellulose. I thought I'd just find out what cellulose was. You ever heard of cellulite? You know what the complete name for cellulite is? Cellulosite. So that stuff that collects down there is from this carbohydrate, these cellulose, which makes up all the honey. Carbohydrates make up all the honey. It says, including sugars, starches, and cellulose. Starches, a natural abundant nutrient, carbohydrate, it says, fruits, roots, corn, potatoes, and rice. Carbohydrate foods, wheat, bread, cereals, pasta, corn, and potatoes. And these carbohydrate, that is what is 82.9% of honey, and it's all sugar. And so now we have all of these carbohydrates, wheat, bread, cereals, pasta, corn, potatoes, rice, fruit, carbohydrates made up of sugar. And the Lord's dealing with me. Honey is a representative. It's interesting to me, after I read all that stuff, that 1 Timothy 4 didn't say that these spirits in the end times would be saying, no fruits and vegetables and no rice and no beans and no bread and no pasta. So what we're doing basically when we're eating large amounts of carbohydrates is we are ingesting a bunch of sugar. Not preaching a chemistry class, nor am I doing what they do on Channel 3, having the 2 hours of what you should eat and what you shouldn't eat. Let's go back to this passage of Scripture over here. Yeah, there are no vitamins for sale in the foyer. Proverbs, again, 25. We'll just look at sugar for a little bit. Honey, we could just say sugar. Pretty much, couldn't you? You just say sugar. Chapter 25, verse 16. Hast thou found honey? Eat so much as is sufficient for thee. You found sugar? Eat so much as is sufficient for thee. And since carbohydrates, basically sugar, basically, I'm not a chemist, just eat so much as is sufficient. Amen. We're from Oklahoma. You know what Oklahoma means? Oklahoma means mashed potatoes and gravy, fried potatoes, beans, biscuits and gravy, cornbread. No wonder. Sugar. Anybody here? Everybody love me. I believe the Lord just wants to help us. Let's change our diet a little bit. So what's that mean? Well, it's some meat, glory be unto God. Why? It's not carbohydrates. It's some meat. Hallelujah. Now, we had a call this past a couple of weeks ago. Somebody had been to the doctor. The doctor said, low carbohydrates, get on protein now. Well, I wasn't meaning to prove the man's instructions to his patient. But the Bible's given us a little insight. Now, let's look at that one other scripture, chapter 24:13. My son, eat thou honey because it's good. You can eat it, but just watch how much you're eating. You know these things that says, you can't have any carbohydrates. Well, the Bible's not, I got to believe the Bible. Amen. I just can't have all that I might want to eat. I have to eat it till I'm satisfied. I can't have a plate of pasta this big. God's good, isn't he? Oh, brother, I better be quiet. Matthew 15. I'm gonna stop. Hallelujah. My allotted time is up. We've eaten what's sufficient for us tonight. He says in verse 32, "And I will not send them away fasting, lest they faint in the way." We need to eat, but let's eat the right things, because our food can take us to places the anointing can't get. Amen.